Amateur Radio Newsline Report 2096 with a release date of Friday, December 29th, 2017. To follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Shortwave Services returns to part of Australia. A West Virginia school ham club has a special role. And get ready for Contest University. All of this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report 2096 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Valparaiso, Indiana, here's Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
We begin this week's report with word that 60-meter shortwave service is now operating in a part of Australia that have been without shortwave for almost a year. This is welcome news to listeners as we hear from John Williams, VK4JJW.
At last, shortwave radio station 4KZ is on the air at 5055 kHz from Queensland, Australia. Signal reports are coming in from New Zealand and parts of North America. Al Curtin, VK4FFKZ, General Manager of NQ Radio, reports that transmission started on the 20th of December and currently will be at half power, or 500 watts, until repairs can be made to one of the RF boards. The station will then operate regularly at its 1 kilowatt power using an inverted V antenna at a site in tropical North Queensland. Although the 60-metre transmissions are intended for the listening audience in the northern outback and Cape York areas of Australia, signal reports have come in from as far away as New South Wales, Victoria, New Zealand, Canada's province of Alberta, and even Monterey, California in the US. Australian Broadcasting Corporation ended its shortwave transmissions to the northern outback last January. If you're interested in listening for the signal and want to receive a 4KZ shortwave QSL card, be listening from 0500 to 2300 hours UTC and send your report to Al Curtin by writing to Al, that's A-L, at nqradio.com.au or to Radio 4KZ, P.O. Box 19, Innisfail, Queensland 4860, Australia. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm John Williams, VK4JJW.
In Ireland, a special event station is getting ready to mark a particularly somber event. It was the biggest tragedy in the country's aviation history, as we hear from Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Mystery still surrounds the deadly crash in 1968 of Aer Lingus Flight 712, an event that came to be known as the Tusker Rock Tragedy. The 61 people on board the Vickers Viscount 803 aircraft perished when it crashed into the Irish Sea, making it the worst air disaster in Irish civil aviation history. Starting on the 22nd of January and continuing to the 24th of March, the 50th anniversary of the crash, Special Event Station EI50 AOM will commemorate when tragedy struck the flight from Cork to London Heathrow Airport. The amateur radio operators are devoting each day to a different victim. The passengers and crew are from Sweden, the Netherlands, the US, Switzerland, Britain, Belgium and Ireland. According to various news reports, only 14 bodies were ever found. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Amateur radio is all about communication, but as one group of students in West Virginia is learning, it can mean so much more. Neil Rapp, WB9VPG explains.
It's always exciting to hear about a new high school ham radio club getting on the air, but this one had a little twist. In fact, it took me a while to get in touch with this group that has introduced ham radio to Pocahontas County High School in Dunmore, West Virginia, because they have no cellular telephone service. It's not necessarily by choice. The entire county is inside the United States National Quiet Zone near the National Radio Astronomy Observatory in Green Bank, West Virginia. So when students had the chance to talk to the rest of the world on something other than a cable, they were more than interested. I had a chance to talk with Rudy Marujo, KD8WPG, about the visit to the school from the Eight Rivers Ham Club.
We want to show these kids that, hey, Pocahontas County is not the only place in the world. It's a big whirl. And, you know, in when a child talks to someone in London or Australia, God, imagine looking at the smile, you know, between their ears. It's ear to ear.
When the Eight Rivers Ham Club members visit the school, they are teaching not only how to communicate with the outside world, but also how to build the antennas and equipment to do so. And they have a limited amount of time available.
Two times a month that we can do it for about an hour each class. We have to summarize everything that we can give to a student. So we make a major impact in 1 hour.
An HF rig and some handhelds are already in a classroom at the school, and all the students who pass the license exam will be given a free handheld radio. Best of luck to yet another school sharing the love of ham radio with students, and in this case, sharing an entire world that otherwise might not be well known. Reporting for Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
Meanwhile, in the New York suburb of West Islip, Long Island, another high school group will soon know the same excitement they're feeling in West Virginia. Students at the West Islip High School have just been assigned a call sign and are awaiting approval of their requested vanity call, WI2HS. Ben Picora, KD2NOU, and teacher Brian Buonelmo, KD2FKP, the club trustee, are working together to help move things forward. The weeks ahead will be spent setting up logbooks and other details in anticipation of getting the new call sign and, of course, antennas and radios. There's never been a ham club in that school, said Ben, who has promised to keep Newsline updated. We can't wait to hear what comes next in the new year for this new school club. If you happen to be a student, it's not too early to start thinking about applying for a scholarship to one of the most competitive universities in the ham radio universe, Contest University. Here's Heather MB, KB3TZD.
Registration has opened for Dayton Contest University, which is holding classes on Thursday, the 17th of May at the Crown Plaza Hotel in Dayton, Ohio, one day before Hamvention kicks off in Xenia. Students who are 25 and younger can apply for scholarships, which are available through the Northern California DX Foundation. Discounts on registration are also available for attendees who are presenting a talk at Hamvention or who have presented any educational sessions for hams at a hamfest since May 17th of 2017. In the 12 years since Contest University has taken place, more than 7,000 amateurs have attended to pick up tips and sharpen their skills. For additional information, visit the website at contestuniversity.com and then get ready to search and pounce. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Heather Emby, KB3TZD.
Hams in North Dakota are welcoming a new ARRL section manager, Nancy Yoshida, KG0YL, who will take on her role January 1st. Nancy is an ARRL Life member and has served as North Dakota Section Emergency Coordinator since 2011. Her interest in ham radio began after she volunteered to help with communications for Alaska's Iditarod sled dog race. Nancy takes over from Lynn Nelson, W0ND, who has been elected ARRL Dakota Division Vice Director. In California, hams are grieving for a YL who took special interest in radio and radio scouting. Stephen Kinford, N8WB, has that story.
The California amateur radio community has lost a teacher, a mentor, and a friend. Linda Davidson, KI6AWI, became a silent key on December 3rd after a lifetime spent as a career educator and a volunteer Elmer of both Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts in the hobby. She was especially active in the Venture Scouts, a co-educational program for teens who enjoy outdoor adventures. She also served as assistant scoutmaster for Troop 27 and crew advisor for Crew 27. Linda also devoted her time to being a merit badge counselor. According to her lifelong friend Don Lovell, K8DLL, she believed in giving back to scouting in any way she could, but most especially using radio through her association with amateur radio station K2BSA and the local scouting radio club using the call sign KZ6BSA. She spent much of her career as a teacher in both secondary, public, and private schools in Washington and California, and was a founding member of the Crossroads Enrichment Center. Linda Davidson was 70. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Stephen Kinford, N8WB.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world. including the Cookeville Repeater Association's W4HPL repeater in Cookeville, Tennessee, on Tuesdays at 8:30 p.m. Central Time. While community service amateur radio isn't about recognition and prizes, when honors come, they're extra important because they put radio operators in the public spotlight. That's what recently happened in Missouri, as we hear from Christian Kudnick, K0STH.
The emergency coordinator for the Johnson County's Amateur Radio Emergency Services isn't just a Missouri resident dedicated to assisting in times of crisis. He's an amateur radio operator with a strong volunteer spirit. Rick Ebison, KB0VZP, has become this year's recipient of the State of Missouri Volunteer of the Year Award for his work and contributions, according to a report in the Daily Star Journal. The newspaper notes that the Johnson County Aries trailer was created with funding from him. The vehicle has the capability of tying its mobile camera into a mesh network used to transmit data, text messages, and VoIP during severe situations, such as storms. His most recent project consists of helping emergency managers make their move from simplex radio communications to a repeater system to expand countywide coverage. The agency's executive director, Gloria Brandenburg, told the newspaper that Ebenson's volunteer tenure dates to 2002, when she was in charge of the American Red Cross office. She said he later split his time between the Red Cross and the county until the Red Cross office closed. His time has been invested well. The communications trailer assisted in Henry County when a telephone outage caused ambulance centers to lose touch with a 911 call center. Rick also provided a radio charging facility and communications for first responders during the search for a lost child in Johnson County. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Christian Kudnick, K0STH.
As the state of Alabama prepares for its bicentennial celebration, public officials aren't the only ones getting into the act. Hams are, too, as we hear from Bobby Best, WX4ALA.
Maybe she isn't a ham radio operator, at least not yet, but Alabama Governor Kay Ivey sure knows how to activate a new call sign. On the state's 198th birthday, the public official became the first person to use call sign AL2C, which will be in use by amateurs until 2019, which marks the state's bicentennial. The governor's contact was with the Lee County Emergency Management Agency, and she spoke about the state's bicentennial plans with Odo Oshnick, N4UZZ, the trustee of the call sign. The CUSO took place from a D-Star VHF station in the Old House Chamber in the Capitol Building in Birmingham, a station set up by the Alabama Bicentennial Amateur Radio Club. Since the bicentennial isn't for a while yet, that gives the governor time to plan for a ticket. And this time, we don't mean a political one. For Amateur Radio Newsline, from Birmingham, Alabama, I'm Bobby Best, WX4ALA.
An important post has just been filled at a vital monitoring system that identifies intrusion on the amateur bands. John Williams, VK4JJW, has those details.
The ARRL-IARU monitoring system, which keeps an eye out for inappropriate signals on the bands, has filled a vacancy in IARU Region 2. On January 1st, Carlos Baviglia, LU1BCE of Buenos Aires, Argentina, becomes the monitoring system coordinator for that region. He'll be responsible for keeping track of intruder reports, verifying them, and if necessary, enlist the help of other hams and shortwave listeners to investigate further. Typical sources of intrusion on the ham bands include unlicensed operators, over-the-horizon radar, and shortwave broadcasters. Carlos has been licensed since the age of 16 and is a third-generation ham in his family. He's been president of the Radio Club of Argentina, and in 2016 he was involved in the club's Summer Antarctic campaign at LU1ZI in the South Shetland Islands. His preferred mode of operation is CW. The monitoring system is a global service designed to protect the amateur services on the air. Each of the IARU's regional organizations chooses a local coordinator. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm John Williams, VK4JJW.
In the world of DX, you have until the 5th of January to contact MARO, EA8/IV3HAX, operating from the Canary Islands. Morrow can be found on various HF bands with an emphasis on 160 and 80 meters using CW, RTTY, and FT8. Send QSL cards to IV3HAX Direct, Logbook of the World, or Club Logs OQRS. Members of the Qatar Amateur Radio Society are active as A70X from Al Safliya Island on the 1st of January through the 6th. Listen for them on various HF bands using CW, single sideband, and the digital modes. QSL via M0OXO or OQRS. Between the 3rd and 16th of January, you can listen for Ken, LA7GIA, and Adrian, KO8SCA, operating as 6060 from Somalia. They will be on 160 through 10 meters using CW, single sideband, RTTY, and FT8. Send QSL cards via M0OXO and his OQRS. This is a de-expedition that is raising money for Doctors Without Borders and its work in Somalia. In Israel, Larry, K2LS, will be operating as 4X/K2LS from Ramat Bet Shemesh between the 10th of January and the 6th of February. He will be mainly using CW, QSL via K2LS, direct by the Bureau or Logbook of the World. And finally, we close our report with this question. What happens when a well-behaved puppy gets introduced to a pretty well-behaved group of hams? Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, answers that question for us now.
The purpose of the North Cheshire Amateur Radio Club is clearly stated on its website. Members gather to talk about all aspects of radio, to experiment with equipment and to try new things, and of course to socialise and perhaps even gossip. The club's website adds that visitors are very welcome. So when one of its more recent welcome visitors was a Cocker Spaniel puppy, it was really no surprise. The 10-week-old pup called Connie was brought to the club's meeting on Sunday the 17th of December as part of her training. No, she wasn't preparing for a foundation license exam or even hoping to upgrade an existing license, but was definitely on track for the next stage of her development to become a hearing dog for the deaf. According to club member Terry Reeves, G3RKF, such service dogs must display good behaviour and a calm manner under all circumstances. So where better to test out a dog's promise than in a room full of talkative, enthusiastic amateur radio operators? Any dog that can handle that kind of QRM is sure to enjoy a successful career helping someone who is deaf or hearing impaired. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
With thanks to Allen Labs, the ARRL, CQ Magazine, Contest University, the Daily Star Journal, Don Lovell K8DLL, Hap Holly and the Rain Report, the IARU, the Irish Radio Transmitter Society, Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, QRZ, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Ted Randall's QSO Radio Show, Wireless Institute of Australia, the Wilmslow UK website, WTWW Shortwave, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Please send emails to our address at newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website at www.arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve-Marie, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO in Valparaiso, Indiana, saying 73. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2017. All rights reserved.